This is CliffCentral.com.
It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. My name is Tebogo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. You know, whenever you hear us this hour, you know that this is a show that brings you all things business. We bring in regulators, we bring in subject matter experts, we bring in industry champions. And however, with the people that I've got today, I must say they are social entrepreneurs. And I hope you do remember that we are running a nation builder, you know, competition. We together with the University of Stellenbosch and Launch Lab and Megan Group, where we're inviting pitches from businesses that aim or stand a chance of winning 150,000 seed capital within their businesses for businesses that are sustainable or that have sustainable ideas. It doesn't matter how small or how simple that business is, as long as it addresses social issues, positively impacts communities, empowers disadvantaged people, or the potential to solve local problems, innovative ways. You are invited to enter the Social Innovative Challenge, where 10 finalists will receive exposure to a broader network of business investors at the final pitching event, which will be hosted by Launch Lab in Stellenbosch on the 13th of June 2018. So it doesn't matter whether you're in Gauteng, it doesn't matter whether you're in Free State, Limpopo, or wherever. You're going to be flying down to your University of Stellenbosch, where three finalists will receive their portion of the 150,000 seed capital onto their business. I know that I'm fortunate to be one of the judges for this exciting initiative called Nation Builder. So now, if ever you're going to be part of this great initiative, go to proudnationbuilder.co.za, proudnationbuilder.co.za. We'll get an opportunity to actually hear it more from them in studio when they come in. And I know that later on the line as well, one of the representatives from there is going to be joining the show. Yes, like I did say that I've got social entrepreneurs in studio today. We know that it goes without saying that only women and girls have been getting attention and consideration, as they seem more vulnerable to abuse, attacks, as well as the privilege. I mean, that is the world order falls to grasp, in the fact that the boy child has the same or worse challenges as girls have. I mean, campaigns to save a girl child from this and that are prevalent and dominate in the social discourse. I remember an interview that I once did. I was asked, if I was a president for a day, what would I do? And I said, I'd kill take a girl child campaign, because I don't feel that only the girl child should be looked after. The boy child as well needs to be followed. There is a social phenomenon where the boy child is neglected and not embraced. Boys are the unsung heroes, and they also face challenges like mental harassment, rape, and etc. And girls have all the social rights, but boys have no hearings. Even their own parents sometimes seldom believe in them. One mistake that we make, it is that when we talk about women's empowerment, we tend to focus on women only. What should we think of the empowerment of individual, irrespective of their gender? Empowerment of individual means that we create society where both men and women can take choices in life based on their own abilities, preferences, and circumstances. When you save the boy child from all these by defending and fighting for his right, you save a whole generation. That boy, upon growing up into a responsible man, father, husband, mentors his generation in the same way, all down his lineage. Hence the need to have the initiatives where boys can be mentored and embraced by social men in communities. Hope Givers Foundation is organizing an event aiming at the boy child this Thursday as well, being the 3rd of March, being tomorrow. So that's why I felt that, you know what, let's have the discussion around social entrepreneurship. But these are not social entrepreneurs that come up with ideas, but these ones are the social entrepreneurs that are focusing on the difference of communities as large or as a whole. Let me take this opportunity to welcome a guest that is not new to the show. I think we must actually get him a badge or an access card, because he's now part of the furniture on this year. We've had an opportunity of having him last year, but it's the first time that we're having him this year. It's a good friend of mine, Daddy Meshack Gekana from Dads in the Picture. How are you, my brother?
I'm well, my brother. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to everybody who's listening. Yes, definitely I need access here. I just need parking as well, by the way.
Yeah, no, definitely. We must arrange that for you in time.
Yes.
So, yeah. And I've got my sister as well, Ms. Takane Makari. Ms. Takane, do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Since you're a new member of the show, you can quickly tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Good afternoon to you.
Okay, wait. I can't seem to be. Do you want to try that again and come closer to the mic?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for having me. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. As you've said, my name is Takane Makari. I'm from Hope Givers Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is Hope Givers Foundation?
Hope Givers Foundation, it's an organization that focuses on educational and development projects, mm-hmm. You know, for rural and disadvantaged communities. So that's what we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said disadvantaged communities. What do you actually do for those disadvantaged communities?
We do from educational projects mm-hmm. To social projects. Educational projects, one of the biggest projects we do be your tertiary applications and learnership drive,
okay.
whereby we help learners to apply online. As you say, as much as the government have said that you know the fees have fallen,
mm-hmm.
but the universities still want the learners to apply online.
Sure.
But then it becomes a problem for learners who don't have access to devices and mm-hmm. internet. So as the foundation, we would partner with your network companies and other organizations to make sure that we go to these areas and we help these learners to compile to actually register online. So that's one of the initiatives that we do. Socially, we do a whole lot of motivational speaking. One of the biggest ones that we are here about today is the Raising Legends. So yeah, we do different projects for those communities.
Yeah, no, definitely. I like what you do. Mr. Kekana,
already I can see where I fit in there.
I had to call you.
I can pick up, you know, she's talking motivational speaking,
yeah,
and I'm talking coaching,
yeah,
and I believe the two go together.
No, definitely. Yeah. There's someone that is listening. I know I've got as well a dear friend and partner of ours who's as well on Skype. Do you want to quickly tell us what's there in the picture?
That's in the picture. It's a foundation that has been found for the one reason to say we need active men in our community
mm-hmm.
based on all the research that has been done.
Okay.
And as you say, the current solutions and the current interventions are looking at women. The current interventions are looking at the girl child. But then I always say two wrongs don't make a right.
So, true.
You know, the eras that are bygone, you know, have, you know, the whole masculinity issue, the whole issue of men being the head.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, they were wrong. And now we're coming in with interventions which are to a certain extent wrong because they are saying we wanna only focus on the women. So let's bring a balance. I like what you said earlier. Let's talk about a child. Let's not talk about a girl child because my son is sitting there now thinking, what have I done to not deserve the attention that the girl child is getting? My father might have done something.
Okay.
My uncle might have done something to not deserve to get the attention. But I am a child aiming to be somebody tomorrow. So why don't I get a similar? It will never be equal. I always talk of equity. Let's give them equitable opportunities. If the girl child gets 60% and the boy child gets 40%, it's still fair enough for me.
That's
but,
true.
But 0% to 100%, it's never gonna work.
Okay. So now, Mitch, tell me. I mean, you are a professional. You are a social entrepreneur. You've been for some time. Now you are also an author. Yes. I'm an entrepreneur in my own right. So what's the difference between me and you? Between a social entrepreneur and an entrepreneur? Because maybe there's somebody that is listening. He's hearing I'm with social entrepreneurs in studio,
yes,
but
yes.
They might get it mixed.
I believe there are certain things that that really makes a difference. One could be what we loosely call a calling.
Okay.
That burning desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a wrong that I can see that I want to correct, or there's something that needs adjusting, just tweaking, maybe the abuse or maybe even the access, as Meh has said,
yeah.
to technology and all of that. I want to tweak that a bit and give these children the opportunity to have access to that.
Okay.
Whilst you already you have your own gainful employment on the side as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have that and still wake up, do your 9 to 5, come back and actually sit on your laptop and tweet and, you know, and arrange talks with young people, young men, young women,
mm-hmm.
arrange talks with, you know, civil society to make that change without your motive being profit. The minute you look at it and you say, I'm going into business, business is profit. I have expenses, I must pay.
Mm.
So there's no scholoto in a way. But with social entrepreneur, there's a lot of scholoto.
Mm. Okay.
When
Mish is talking about scholoto, he's talking about credit or debt.
Yeah. You know, as we're talking about my book, The Cost of a Blessing, it is said that, you know, we all have blessings.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I've looked at it and said, you don't just get anything for free. There's nothing for mahala. This blessing comes with a cost.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm blessed to have a job, I have a career, I'm in IT, you know, I've got some surplus 100 rand dinyana once in a while. I could use that surplus 100 rand dinyana to pay for the blessing that I have,
mm-hmm.
i.e. to use it to put petrol in and go talk to the young people, i.e. to go and do, you know, a charity thing.
I mean,
I'm also a biker.
Okay.
So as you know, we met through biking. When you were still, you know, on the bike all the time. but we met through biking and we do a lot of social entrepreneurship through that.
Okay.
Every weekend we pour petrol into our bikes, we fix our bikes, we go and we do something out of our own good hearts, and that is the payment for the blessing. So this book also looks at issues around society, around communication, around relationships, to say, you know, you've been blessed with that child
that
you're not taking care of. This is what is possibly the problem, and this is where you're heading, this is how you get out of it. So it's more like social entrepreneurship. It's paying it forward without, you know, profit being right there at the top. Profit is there if you find it, but if you can't find it, you don't stop.
Yeah, you keep on going on.
Keep on going.
Okay, let me connect all the way to Cape Town to a different kind of entrepreneur. I'm speaking to Lucas Odindal, who's the Megan Investment Analyst. Lucas, how are you, brother?
Hey, good, yourself?
No, good, thanks. Thank you for joining us, Lucas. You are also a new member of the show. Do you want to quickly?
That's true.
Welcome, Lucas.
Lucas, do you want to quickly say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Yes, sure. So, hi, listeners. So I'm an investment analyst with Mergon Group in Investments Portfolio. So Mergon is a private investment group, and we exist to impact lives, and we seek to equip others to do the same. So how we do this is we do it through our investment portfolio. So our investment portfolio is 70% of it's held by the Mergon Foundation.
Okay.
So our profits basically are distributed to not-for-profit initiatives across Africa. And then we also have a different arm, which is Nation Builder, and they are leading social change within our corporate and social investment space by creating partnerships between corporates and organizations seeking funding.
Mish was earlier explaining the kind of social entrepreneur he is and the kind of entrepreneur I am. What kind of entrepreneur are you?
So as an investment analyst, as part of our group, we invest into private equity. So that's into businesses. And one of our criteria is that it should be a business that's having an impact. So we're not looking at making a quick profit as a normal private equity stigma is out there, but we're looking to, you know, to build a sustainable partnership with our investments, and through this initiative that Nation Builder has started, that's one way that we're trying to see how we can get closer to the ground in terms of social entrepreneurs.
What you're saying, Lucas, is it's also affirmed on your website. I love the header that says we do business with a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Tell me, Lucas, just quickly, SS Megan, you know, right now, obviously, you've said that you a Nation Builder. It's part of your sister company or initiative that you guys are running. So yes. I mean, what's your involvement, I mean, with the social innovation challenge?
So my involvement is, so we were part of setting the criteria for the challenge.
Okay.
So seeing what are the things that we would like to look at in terms of, you know, what would be a successful social innovation idea, and how it would be carried out and implemented, and how you would scale it, and things like that. So that's one area we'll be coming in. And then we're also coming in with the capital that we're providing for it. For this initiative, and then also, you know, as part of the of getting our business and investment network involved in the initiative, exposing you know, our entrepreneurs to the right network of people to really launch their ideas, to give that, that last bit of help to take them to that next level.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a quick one, Lucas. You've just spoken of connecting them to a network of people.
Yes.
I mean, how important is these businesses to be connected to a network, though?
Yes, I mean, I think some of the things that we have seen is that every person has that feel inside of their heart, you know, to start a certain movement or a certain initiative where they face or tackling social challenges or issues that are arising. And what we find is that the same mistakes are being made through the learning process that each new organization goes through. And being connected to a network of people that have learned these lessons, that have walked the path, you are able to very quickly, you know, to not make the same mistakes, to go from, you know, to making your learning curve a lot shorter, you know, to make your impact bigger and faster.
Yeah.
Than would normally be the case going through it normally and learning as you go.
So I mean, it makes good sense. Earlier on, you spoke about investing into these businesses or these entrepreneurs. I mean, what is the difference between normal investment and investing in social innovation businesses?
I think you guys mentioned it earlier a little bit. I mean, normal investment would look at a profitable, sustainable, and a scalable business, right?
Okay.
And the same holds true for social. For social entrepreneurship, the only thing that it comes down to is the focus. Where the focus with a social innovation would be on solving the social issues, positively impacting the communities, and empowering, you know, the disadvantaged. So that's where the focus comes into. And what we've seen is a lot of these entrepreneurship, these innovations, struggling because of finances, struggling because of, you know, not a proper business model to make it sustainable and scalable, you know, to take it from where it really yields results in one area, and to take it to different communities that are facing the same challenges and to implement it there. So, I'd say that would be the difference. You know, what's the focus, and you know, taking business, working as a partnership with that. To take it to different communities that are also facing the same challenges.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, what you're saying, it's affirming what Derike Gana said earlier in terms of making profit. Maybe let me come back to you, Mr. Gana. In terms of now, how do you think you are a social entrepreneur? Yeah. Same goes for you, Zaki.
Yeah.
And right now, we are talking to Lucas, a business that's involved in investing in social entrepreneurs. What do you think is the importance of corporate or big business like the Megan Group to be involved or supporting social initiatives?
Daddy Lucas, thank you for coming up and for your company coming up with this initiative. It is very critical, because in the last 6 years we've learned, you, as you correctly put it, we go through the same pitfalls, you know, over and over again. Everybody who starts and says, I want to do an NGO, and they go out, they want financing, the model is wrong and all of that. So we need that partnership. More importantly as well is to say, unfortunately, in our space, as it's been explained, we're working, for instance, I'm working in the children's space from a men perspective, to say, how do we get men active? How do we get men excited? But men don't don't bite easily. You don't just invite them to dinner and make them pay $300 to come and talk about
it. But this Lucas, he's a man. As an analyst.
This is my sales pitch.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm getting myself funding here.
Oh, okay. So,
it is, you know, Lucas, you would agree that men, you know, need incentives and all of that. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have the budget to bring in a nice show, to bring in a nice extra that will bring them there, that will, you know, to market them there, it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how many posters you put up. It doesn't matter how many messages you tweet. They want something like that. So if you have that, it would go a long way to helping that. Other than that, there are places that we look at which are rural in the outlines. And if you start thinking investors, you're thinking, yes, who wants to go to Mtuba Tuba?
Mm-hmm.
And who's got the interest in the children of Mtuba Tuba? Forgetting that those very children are going to grow to come and live in Sandton and work in Sandton.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at that and say that partnership is important, especially to reach those that do not have the kind of services that you are rendering, to reach those boys or those girls that might be, for instance, others are running sanitary pet programs.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to get there, you need to be enabled. So business as an enabler for social entrepreneurship is very critical.
Mm. So now you're recommending that more businesses like Megon should get on to social initiative.
Megon is on the right track. Bravo to them. And we really are hoping that we will be seeing them in initiatives around. And yes, this competition is actually what we need.
Mm. No, definitely. I think it's a positive for you, Lucas, from an analyst perspective, and from a feedback to the team, to say you guys must continue supporting and doing such initiatives. Because I mean, you see, there's a need from social entrepreneurs for companies like yourself to be in line with the people.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are uniquely positioned to do that and continue doing that. And, you know, with our business and investment network, I mean, we're talking about big companies that have these funds available, you know, to invest in social change. Mm. And, I think we Nation Builder specifically, you know, sitting in that space where we can connect the people with the funds with the people that need the funds, you know, and getting more involved in the space. I'm creating the opportunity for, you know, for guys that have an idea of how to bring about change in your community, you know, to step up onto the platform and to say, listen, this is my idea, this is what we want to do, and collaborate with those that are doing similar things and that have they've walked down the path and have learned what mistakes and what pitfalls to avoid. And try and bring about the social change that we all so desperately want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Taki, you from Hope Givers Foundation,
right?
I know that you originate from the rural areas.
Yeah.
Of your Kiani or Venda or whatever, Tanin.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So I know then right now, I mean, Lucas spoke about something very key in terms of businesses that are involved in social change.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And not only involved in social change, but that are innovative.
Yeah.
So from you being on the ground working with businesses, do you think that do we have in the rural area specifically social entrepreneurs that are dealing with social change or that are innovative in terms of coming up with ideas that could really impact South Africa?
Yeah, look, I think me being, as you've said, from a rural area, but also being exposed to the urban life, in the rural areas, we have a lot of companies or organizations, or should I say NPOs, but don't understand the meaning or the role of NPOs. We've seen that a lot.
Yes.
In the rural areas, even with us, when you go and you get introduced by a mayor, for instance, to a community, they would then say, these are people who are helping us with our crèches. So it means that they also don't understand our role. So I think we need to have more education as to what is it, what is the function or the role of NPOs, what is the relationship between business and NPOs, and where are synergies. We need to find that. We really don't have that. We've done a lot of work, especially in the Limpopo province, where you find that also businesses don't take NGOs seriously. I think maybe also we are being I don't believe that as NGOs we shouldn't be compensated, and I'll tell you why. Because the work that we do, we're doing work that a normal business wouldn't do. We go to communities, we touch lives, we have one-on-ones with communities and businesses that don't have time for that.
But how many of those businesses are impacting, training, are coming up with ideas that could really impact the country though, or that rural area?
Very few, because I mean, business is exactly that. What they do when they go to a place, they look at what is my return on investment. Socially, they don't really focus on social. They're looking at how do we grow our business. So it's our role as well as NGOs to say, look, where you are going, you want to grow your business, it's where you should be giving back. You know, they need to find a strategy where they balance between business and CSI, so corporate social investment. So, and we find that most of them, they're not really doing that. Only when you come up and say, I'm Hope Givers Foundation, I have this initiative, then they say, oh great, wow, we want to be part of this. But they don't have a plan, they don't have a strategy as to, as a business, come January 2018, this is our CSI plan, as to how we're going to impact lives and communities. So yeah, we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think maybe without wasting your time, Lucas, but I think for me, do you see that this is raising something of concern to me, Lucas, that I think maybe for next year, in regards to this competition, maybe let's look at how can we target better rural communities, you know, and those you know, semi-rural areas, in terms of educating them about social entrepreneurship, one, and two, the social innovative, you know, initiatives, you know, or ideas that they could engage in or come up with, even if maybe it means showcasing some of the this year's entries onto your competition. Do you understand? So that we're able to teach people that you could be a social entrepreneur but be profitable. You could be a social entrepreneur but still come up with an idea that could really impact the community, or that could really impact the country as a whole. I think it will be able to give more value, you know, to people on the ground, and inspiring to social entrepreneurs as well, so that they don't feel as if now they need to be solely dependent on handouts, but they could use their ideas and brains to actually create a form of income. What do you think about that?
No, I agree 100%. I think the stigma around social entrepreneurs has been, you know, just receiving handouts and not you know, and not realizing that this is actually a way to uplift communities. I mean, you know, it's supposed to be a profitable a business. Any social entrepreneurship is supposed to be a profitable business. It should be run like a business. It should be sustainable. You know, these are the things that I think haven't been taught. And I think a big thing is awareness. I mean, there's a lot of stories out there about guys that have implemented and have started the business. Aimed at social impact, and I totally agree that we need to get that story out there. We need to get that story to the communities where the change needs to happen. You know, and to showcase, listen, social entrepreneurship, it's a viable career choice. It's a way to earn a living and also to place your purpose right next to you, or even above, profitability. Business. Profitability doesn't have to come at the expense of purpose of impact and of social change. And I mean, this is the first year that we're running this this initiative and this challenge, and it will only grow from here on out. It becomes better and better, and as we understand more of where the challenges lie, how to source these social entrepreneurs and give them that, you know, that boost to launch the idea and to implement it within the communities.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I must congratulate you on your first year doing this initiative, to actually be even gone to the extent of partnering with shows like ourselves, 360 Biz, and Cliff Central, to actually, you know what, provoke conversations. I'm sure you can pick up that we're having real conversation and discussion around this issue, so that really there is a need, and obviously making people aware of this. I think I must commend you on that one. And most importantly, maybe if just a quick one, before I let you go, what do you enjoy though about being involved in this initiative that you guys are hosting?
Well, just being able to, you know, to find these entrepreneurs that have this idea, this unique idea, and maybe not having the know-how or the, you know, the information of how to actually launch it or make it a sustainable business,
mm-hmm.
To be able to assist in making that business a reality or bringing that idea into something that's actually tangible and that's, you know, that's going from strength to strength. So for me personally, that's, it's immense, just, you know, seeing this space open up for myself, and seeing, you know, the need that there is, the very large need there is, and how this is, you know, being, you know, received so well. I think that'll just, you know, launch it next year into, you know, to doing it even bigger than this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that to me is, yeah, it's amazing.
No, definitely. Then tell me, is there still time to enter the competition?
Yes, please, please, please. Anybody that's listening, so entries are open until the 11th of May.
Mm-hmm.
You can go onto launchlab.co.za or even onto Cliff Central's homepage and just look at the Nation Builder light bulb to enter into the competition. And please, please enter, pitch your ideas. There's entries coming in daily. We're really looking forward to seeing what are the top ideas coming out of it. I'm just, you know, getting excited for even next year's challenge already. Please enter. 11th of May is the deadline. And our final pitching event will be on the 13th of June.
Yeah, no, definitely. Did you hear Dedike Kana says his entry is on its way as well?
Perfect.
All I need to tweak is the modeling, the business part of the modeling part, you know, so that I know that this is going to be profitable. I think Metzakis mentioned it earlier, you know, you need to be really gainfully supported, you know, to run this. I've gone the option of I will do it while I'm working, because at the end of the day, there was nobody forthcoming
with
the support.
Yeah.
So for me to be full time, I need the support of your initiative. 100%.
Yeah. No, definitely. Quickly, Lucas, you said you've set the criteria. So do you want to quickly tell us, for somebody that is listening that wants to enter, what kind of businesses are you looking at, or social entrepreneurs you're looking for?
So what we are looking at is really guys that are you know, solving any social issue, positively impacting the community or empowering the disadvantaged in your area. So that could be anything. So it's really open. So what I can quickly go through is what we're looking at on the videos or in the videos that you guys could send.
Okay.
So it's a 3-minute video. Just explain your business idea yourself in 3 minutes. So basically a brief summary of the business or the idea and the history that you currently have in that. What's the particular social issue that you aim to address?
Mm-hmm.
How will the business idea actually solve or address this issue? How do you intend to make money or be sustainable? And describe your target market. Who's the guys that you're going to be focusing on? You can also share with us some key milestones that you have achieved to date and how you intend to grow this business and to scale the impact that you have. And anything else that you believe would be, you know, critical to your idea being chosen as, you know, one of the group of shortlisted ideas.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot for your time, Lucas. I'm looking forward to engaging further with you as the competition proceeds, and looking forward to interviewing our top three after the award night has taken place.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
No, definitely. That is Lucas Odindalo, who's a mega investment analyst. If ever you are listening, remember that Nation Builder, together with Stellenbosch University, Launch Lab, and the Megan Group, is inviting business pitches for the inaugural Social Innovative Challenge, where you stand a chance of winning 150,000 seed capital onto your business, as well as a business support from Launch Lab. You can always go to launchlab.co.za. Go to www.cliffcentral.com to actually click on the bulb to actually enter the competition. Let me take this opportunity to welcome my boy Bulelani. But how are you, Fana?
I'm very happy. I'm extremely happy.
Are you happy because you're a social entrepreneur or?
No, I'm just happy. It's a Wednesday. Back to work. I feel like there are too many holidays. I'm sorry. No, man, I'm happy to be in studio today. It's a beautiful day and it's a beautiful topic as well. I learned quite a bit and I love what the guys at Nation Builder are doing, and I think the guests in studio as well are doing exceptionally well. And I think just to win that money would change things and would assist in impacting a lot more lives. But yeah, I think, absolutely. I mean, the four of us sitting in this room are clear social entrepreneurs, so this topic is nothing new to us. And being able to not necessarily stop the profits, but utilize some of the profits to impact people's lives and not have it be what's the thing we always say, like a tick box exercise.
Yeah,
to know that's a checklist. We've already done that. 500 students, we've done that, but you can't even track or trace how far they've gone in their learning cycle. Is there really a real impact for the programs that we're really doing? So,
and is it sustainable?
Yeah, definitely.
Sustainability is key.
No, definitely. Yeah. And I think one of the things that has been very close to my heart recently is the issue of fathers, you know, because I was having a conversation with this guy and which is why I like the initiative that you do. Because it addresses a social ill. I mean, he was so comfortable in telling me that, you know, he's fighting with the mother of his son over giving her 250 rand for clothes. And then he was so happy to swipe over 8,000 for drinks in the table.
Yeah. No.
And I was like, no. So you know, you say one thing, you're witnessing another. That's but
and I remember you did a live video to say, guys, look after your child.
Think those are the social ills. Because
I actually saw your post and I wasn't sure where it was coming from. To be honest,
because it's different from everything else, right?
Every day I scroll up and I look for your post for your motivation. I always believe that today is better than yesterday. I'm alive.
That's true.
But you are on a different high. So
no, but I mean I think we need to change that.
Yeah,
but, you know, us being capitalists is great, but it's where initiatives like Nation Builder push us. They don't just push us to do good. They push us now to do sustainable good. So that you don't consistently, like Deboho was saying earlier on, you always have your hands out, asking for a handout, asking for donations, but you can run it.
Definitely. I mean, it's like you're also running a program called Raising Legends.
Yeah.
Maybe before we get to that program, I mean, how important it is for men to have empowerment programs like the one you're hosting?
Sure, it's very important. For me, last year when we sat as an organization and said, look, we've been doing a lot of events that are speaking to a girl child. We still support that. Then come November, December, it's your 16 days of activism against women and children. And as much as it's not said which children are these, we know it's a girl child. And our view as a foundation is that a girl child and a boy child should coexist.
True.
Because whether we like it or not, this girl, you can embrace this girl child to a certain age, but in their growing stage, they end up, you know, becoming decoupled with these people, you know, then
somebody needs to marry the girl child.
Someone needs to marry a girl child. Who's that person who's marrying that girl child? You know, then that person becomes a husband, it becomes a leader in a business, yet they don't know, they don't have tact, they don't have manners, they don't know how to deal with people. So it's very important. Hence, as an organization, we decided to come up with an initiative called Raising Legends, which is a boy child initiative. Which aims at dealing with day-to-day issues that affect a boy child, whether it's social, whether it's education. We just want to have a platform where a boy child can be embraced. And as an organization, that's why we are launching this event tomorrow, the 3rd of where are we now? May?
Yeah, May.
Yeah. Oh my God, 3 May tomorrow. So the initiative, really, we want to be in a position whereby when they talk about rape, a boy child cannot be part of that. In fact, we will not have rape. We are not going to have abuse. We're not going, eventually 16 days of activism will die off because we'll be raising responsible men, respectable men who don't abuse men who look after men. You know, so these initiatives are really, really important.
Funny you should say that, actually. I've always said that my aim is to make sure that we close the orphanages.
Yeah.
we cancel out the 16-day of activism.
Mm.
Yeah. Not because we do not need it, but because it would have run its course.
Yeah.
We would have a more responsible society.
Yeah. True.
Men would be in the picture, bringing the balance.
Yeah.
Because the women can't pull on their own.
No.
No.
So we need to get to the point where we say, this is it. But then certain people in certain quarters,
yeah,
they actually want to fight with me on that. And I say, yes, you, yeah, might be a social entrepreneur looking to address the issue of child abuse.
Yeah.
I'm saying I want to eradicate child abuse.
Yeah.
We will reorganize you and put you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, you can't be saying, it's my career. Mm. I need to look after abuse.
That's
children.
True.
Mm.
It has to go to a point where it might not be this generation,
yeah,
but eventually it has to come to.
Hence, we need to start at that young age. Raising Legend, it aims at doing that. Embracing these young boys at an early age and deal with those issues now rather than later. Because it's very difficult to deal with a husband who hasn't been... trained at a young age.
Who hasn't been fathered properly.
Who hasn't been fathered properly. Hey, who hasn't had...
Listen to this social <topic. laughs>
So, yeah. So this initiative, really, sure, we need more men to partner with us. But we're also calling out for women, because there's a lot of women who are raising these young men. So they need to understand that they're not alone out there. There's people like you, Bramish, who says, look, we are here as fathers. I don't have to be your biological father in order for me to be your father.
Yes.
I'm here to embrace you. I'm here to support you socially and all of that. And Tebogo, as you know, we are launching this thing tomorrow. But the program itself, we're going to have a lot of activities. We're going to have movie nights. We're going to have camps.
That's nice.
You know, absolutely. We're going to have seminars. You know, we want these young men to be ambassadors at schools and all of those kind of things. So, you know, we're calling on both men and women, captains of industries, to join us on this initiative. And we take this thing forward one day at a time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, speaking of Mish, you won an award.
Yes.
So we actually had to celebrate you as well. Do you want to quickly tell us about quickly tell us about the award that you won as a social entrepreneur?
I have to thank the Buthelezis, who are running the I Do Awards.
Okay.
I Do, for me, when I met them, they were running a magazine which is more about positive family.
Yeah, I know I Do. Yes.
And positive marriages. They are promoting the whole institution of marriages. And over the years, I mean, we interacted years back, but somehow we came to together and worked on projects that actually link up. Mine saying, much as you're talking about marriages, I need us to bring the right people to the marriage.
Mm.
I need us to bring the right daughter.
Mm.
I need us to bring the right son who would know the values. Because now when you start and you do motivational to couples and you tell them how to live together, how to do that, all of that, they might not hear you simply because they were broken at the beginning.
True.
So this award,
and those guys were not dealt with.
They were not dealt with.
Yeah.
So now you are catching the end product,
mm,
which is one of the projects we're doing with the Department of Justice on that, to say the justice system gets the end product, the already, you know, molded bad behavior,
mm-hmm,
and all they have to do is punish. But then how do they rehabilitate if they do not understand where this child comes from,
right,
where this behavior comes from,
mm,
which is why we need to raise these legends.
Mm.
We need to make sure that they have the true influence. I always say it's not about a mother biological and a father biological.
Mm.
It's about the influence of a woman,
mm,
the influence of a man that brings out the best woman or the best man,
mm,
out of that equation.
Yeah.
And I am so honored that Mefilisha Buthelezi has actually, and his head team had seen it befitting to give us this honor that says men of the moment. For me, we are men of the moment. Everybody,
nice,
in the social entrepreneur space,
mm,
we are trying to do the best. We're trying to make the difference. We're trying to impact lives. We're trying to make sure that tomorrow's society is safe.
Right.
There are no rapes.
Mm.
There are no abuse.
Mm.
You know, some of the laziness can also be traced back to the dead, actually.
Mm.
Mm.
No, man. I'm actually just busy PRing here, yeah? And I'm tagging him, and I'm tagging I Do Awards so that they see. Because the truth at the end of the day, you know, it's a great initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I've never attended any of the events. I think before, purely because I thought I didn't qualify. But one of the things that I loved is, I mean, it's rare to find events that, mm, are for married people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. This is one
That's one of the things that's rare. You can go to a club to find girls. You can go to a club to find guys.
Yeah.
But you can't necessarily... There's a few events and initiatives that truly support that. So I really think that it's important because I really believe that strong families are the bedrock of the future. And oftentimes we have people, couples who are married, but... I think one gentleman's book says, "Are you married or buried?" So you're not necessarily.
Who's that author?
Man? It's a South African author.
Yeah.
And he says, it's not necessarily that you guys are divorced, but you're married, but it's like not even brother and sister. It's like two different individuals.
Yes, we are raised
with that whole, you stay.
You just share the space. Literally.
And you're just sharing space. So being in a space.
You are co-living.
It's lovey.
Yeah.
And it talks about romance.
100%.
And it talks about joy, and you're able to share ideas and value, man. Yeah. That's
But for you to get to that point where you can share the joy, share the ideas and the values, you have to be of sound mind. You have to be matured. And that maturity doesn't come from books. Honestly, I've seen some professionals who can't even take care of their own budget, let alone take care of a child.
That's true.
Let alone take care of that's a wife. True. So, but then how do we get there? Do we, you know, you can take somebody 7 years to do a qualification, but if they don't have that grounding, you know, we always say we'll refer back to God, the creator. Yes, absolutely, let's do that. But we can't just refer to him and do nothing and do the opposite and go spend 8,000 rands on booze. And refuse to pay 250.
Like, sometimes really?
when dads complain to me and they say they want me to pay so much, and I look at him and I say, "Do you even know what the school fees is?"
Yes.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing at times.
No, Tsakane, quickly, your event tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is it open to the public? Do we need to buy tickets together?
It's open to the public. Actually, it's not open for to the public. You need to buy tickets.
Okay, is it open or is it not open?
It's opened. we're inviting men and women to come and join us tomorrow. It's dinner, so it's not really a ticket. So if we say dinner, I think it sounds better. So we're having a gala dinner. It's 500 rand. As we said, it's happening at East Rand School of Arts, 6:30. Dress code, it's black tie, black and white.
Black and white. Okay. So for people that want to that are listening, is it free? Do we pay to
paid dinner? It's a paid dinner for 500 rand.
Oh, 500 rand entrance. Okay. Yeah. Where do we get tickets?
They can inbox us.
Okay.
info@hopegiversfoundation.co.za. info@hopegiversfoundation.co.za. Can I give out the mobile number?
Go ahead.
082-714-2365. 082-714-2365.
No, definitely. Dad, you've been busy. You've been running shows the whole year, going different provinces and stuff.
I need an extra hour a day just to keep up.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. When are you doing the next one?
The program we're currently running, we call it the National Dialogue Series. There's one coming up this very Saturday out in the Northern Cape, Postmansberg. They call it Postman. And we're going to be engaging with the dads there. This is the third last of the first installment. And then next month we'll be in Durban on the 23rd of June, that is.
Okay, so we've got dads and people that are listening that want to come support. Is it free?
It is free, definitely free. All you need to do is bring your open mind. Bring your issues that you believe. For instance, there's a lot of misconceptions out there, you know, legal issues, for instance, which is why we've partnered with the Department of Justice.
So that we sort out the legal issues.
The family advocate base. Because I've always complained with the Department of Justice to say when they change their regulations, they don't put in the effort and the marketing effort to make sure the message goes out there to say, to dispel the myths.
Mm.
Fathers still believe that mothers have preference. You know, the court actually would just give the mother the child. But
is it not like that?
It's not like that.
It's changed.
As far as the law is concerned.
My goodness.
But it is still instilled in some of our law administration.
Man, information is key. Yeah. Yeah.
It's perception.
Man. Yes, no, it's basically you have 100% rights to your child. She has 100% rights to the child.
Mm.
The day you walk out, that's when you start eroding it, unfortunately.
Mm.
But when you are there from day one, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. And what you're supposed to do is not really rocket science. The child needs to eat. The child needs to be fed. The child needs to be taken care of, loved emotionally, physically. You can't be leaving the child with the neighbors for the whole day, not worrying about what they eat. You can't say the child is going to school and not know what they dress up, what they wear, what they. And also, it speaks to how our law is applied. When a mother says, "I need maintenance," it needs to come in the form of itemized billing, I always say, so that he can see, because some of the men really, really don't know.
I'm going to some of these men are discouraged because your
perception,
your maintenance goes to weave. Eh?
You see, now that's the thing. I always
say, not really
if
though.
The cost of your child is 1,000 rands. The cost of the weave is 1,000 rands. It matters not if she takes it to the weave. For as long as you are covering your expenses of your child,
if it because at the end of the day, the child eats. It's an assumption that money would go to a weave. I honestly disagree.
And the child eats more than the mother. Hey?
Yeah, and so because
you guys must say thank God. Oh, this is a business. This is a business show. Otherwise, we'll be taking on these discussions.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then it's key. That's why it's key to raise the right boy child, to raise the right girl child.
Yeah.
So that when they meet up, when they both are pregnant and the child is born, they both come honestly forward and request what is honestly due and make sure it's the best interest of the child. Half the time, they do not know themselves because they are broken themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe according to you, Mish, what would you say is a reasonable amount of maintenance?
A loaf of bread is 15 rands. Give me
a monthly figure. Well, a round figure.
If the child lives in Sandton, it could be 20,000. If the child lives in Randburg, it could be 15. If the child lives in Hammanskraal, Surman, it could be 10. If the child lives in Komatipoort, it could be 1,000 rands. It depends.
Yeah. And also, I mean, as you say, it depends the schooling, the lifestyle. Also, the courts will tell you that the child should not be affected by you guys separating and all of that. So whether you are out or you are in, the child must still maintain that.
Let's make an arrangement here or an agreement. Hope Give Us Foundation, in partnership with Dads in the Picture, will host an event.
Yeah.
Let's have this discussion. I'll offer myself, I'll facilitate the discussion and ask the real questions.
We're going to hold you to that.
Got it.
Because we need that.
Is it?
And don't give us 30 minutes or an hour. Yeah. It must be the whole weekend's event. You must bring your sleeping bag.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to unpack
this. Dinner.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine. Bulela, now you came?
And I'm excited. Because I think, you know, this year's shows, man, it's like the show we had before talking about relationships. And I think this would be a great weekend compact.
Yeah.
Do with that on the Friday, the Saturday, do with this, Sunday you
think
then, about it. Then, like, it's electric.
Then Sunday we close it with the economy.
Yeah.
The money aspect we've sorted out. Then we sort it out with it.
Yeah.
So quickly and Mish, as I close, for people that want to follow some of the events that you're doing, where do you post this information? Where can they get hold of it? And you'll also give us your, whether is it handles or is it, where can we get the book, by the way?
Yes. Absolutely. That's in the Picture is available on Twitter, on Facebook. You can also email us. We've got email address info@datsinthepicture.co.za. And other than that, you can actually just follow us on Twitter. The handle is @DadsInThePic, just PIC, @DadsInThePic. And other than that, for me, The Cost of a Blessing, my book, you can email me info@RELEMME.com. And you can get yourself a copy. It goes for 150 rands, excluding courier and transport. And other than that, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Let's build this nation one man, one woman at a time.
Okay. Zaki, are you on social media?
Yeah, Facebook.
Okay. What is it?
Zaki Mkari.
Mm-hmm.
And Hope Give Us Foundation on Facebook.
Okay. Zaki Mkari and Hope Give Us Foundation. My man, your social media platform?
It's at Bulelani Bala on all platforms, or you could just search Bulelani Bala Bala.
Your social entrepreneurship initiative?
Join us for tea at joinusfortea.co.za.
No, definitely. Remember as well, go to nationbuilder.co and nationlab. Nation Builder or Proud Nation, proudnationbuilder.co.za, or go to Nation Lab, to Launch Lab, sorry, for you to actually enter the competition that we spoke about earlier. If you want to follow me on social media, I am Debohoma40, and it's Debohoma40 everywhere. You know, when we're having a good time, time always runs out, though. This is the time that we actually close up the show. But let me take this opportunity to say thank you.
Thank you to
our guests.
Thank you.
In studio, we really appreciate the good work that you're doing as social entrepreneurs out there. We're hoping that as you keep on doing exciting stuff out there, you'll definitely bring them to our attention so that we're able to amplify them. This is your home, you know. Then we're in support of what you do
100%.
And every entrepreneur that's out there.
Thank you.
We'll be back for the top three, getting the 150,000 to impact.
Oh,
lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. We have to be part like of that.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. No, I like that. Anyway, if ever you've just tuned in, you've missed out on an exciting show and content that we're talking about social entrepreneurs, and I had an opportunity of having two social entrepreneurs in studio, Taki Makari and Mr. Mishak Gekana from Dads in the picture. But you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com, go to Wednesday and go to podcast. You can actually get to listen to the show and some of the amazing content that we've had today and any other week. But more than anything, catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debohoma40 and Bulelani in closing.
Get things done.
Definitely. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debohoma40 and Bulelani Bala Bala. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.